Good morning, and a welcome to our guests this morning. We thank you for joining us. This morning, we start the season of Advent, a time when we look forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, this type of statement a lot of times is used to scare people, especially within modern American Christianity. We're kind of told, well, make sure that you're prepared. You never know, and there seems to be left some doubt in our minds whether we're prepared. And so the question comes, well, how do I prepare myself? What am I going to do? What am I supposed to do? And then we start looking for the lists of rules and all those different things. Well, this is how we can do this. And for the most part, all of this stuff is a lie. Because it is not what we can do. There is nothing within this flesh that we can prepare ourselves to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. And in fact, our reading from Isaiah displays that absolutely perfectly. From verse 6, from chapter 64. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid the face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art the potter, and we are the work of thy hand. You see, the first part of that sounds scary. But the second part gives us the assurance that we are God's children, and that He molds us, shapes us, and makes us who He wants us to be. And He is very gracious to us. And because of this grace, because we are His children, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the word. Reading in Jesus' name. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, awaiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Our text starts out with familiar words, a blessing. The beginning of this text is often overlooked as we read it, or as we start to study Paul's word, because they are so familiar to us. You hear them each and every Sunday, at least here, greetings of grace, mercy, and peace. One here is missing, which is mercy. But I think that we really need to understand what is happening here. These words mean something. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is proclaimed to you at this point. It is given to you. It is action. Grace means undeserved favor. It means we can do nothing to earn it, and yet It is given to us. It is bestowed upon us. We no longer have to earn God's love. He loves us in the midst of our sinfulness. And this is not something that goes away dependent upon our actions, but rather is there despite our actions. God is not against us. Peace from God our Father. God has declared His peace with mankind through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, before, and forever. That does not go away. We somehow have this belief that God is up there looking at us as our enemy. We could talk about these verses for hours and hours, but we need to really come back to the simple truth of what God did through His Son Jesus Christ and who this greeting is given to. He has shown mankind grace, undeserved favor. He has declared His peace to mankind. And that is from God our Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. This has all been given to us. And see, there's all kinds of ideas about God when it comes to His peace. I remember a story I was told about someone who was addressing a group of school-aged kids. And I may have used this before, but the speaker said, "God doesn't like liars." Well, if that's the case, He doesn't like any of us. You see, God loves sinners. Does He love sin? No. In fact, He hated it so much, He had to send His Son to die for it. But the thing that this makes us realize is we can no longer use God as a club. We can't use God in that position that if you do this, then God's going to do this. That's not the case. Because either God died for the sin of the world, or we're all dead. And so when we read these first words in this text, "grace to you and peace from God our Father," it means exactly that. God has declared Himself peaceful to us. He's given us undeserved favor. Our sins have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. And that greeting is sent through Him. We can declare this peace to all people. And we do. Each and every time we get together. It is not our responsibility how it is received. Our responsibility is to declare this peace. And the Holy Spirit will work how it wills to bring that person to believe it. And we certainly can thank God when people come to repentance and believe that word of reconciliation. And that's what Paul does to the Corinthian church. "And I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God which was given you in Jesus Christ." Notice Paul doesn't thank them for their actions or their great giving, or any of those things. He thanks God for the grace that they have received. Now, it's much different than how we think about church. We thank God for our increasing numbers, for our budget being met, all kinds of different other things. That's not what we're to thank God for. We're to thank God for the grace that you have received. That indeed you have come to understand the knowledge that Jesus Christ was sent for you and for the forgiveness of your sin. Because that's the thing that becomes important. And that's the thing that makes us rich. And that's what verse 5 says. In every way, you were enriched in Him, in all speech and all knowledge. Notice you were enriched. You were given something that is much greater than what you had before. And in fact, you were given all things in Christ Jesus, which means everything was given to them. They testify of that grace in their speech and in their knowledge, in how they communicate with people. And this, to me, is one of the marks or the fruits of receiving the Spirit of God. It changes our lives. It changes how we look at things. It changes especially how we look at others. Because you end up now looking at them the way God looks at them. As sinners whom you love. As sinners saved by grace. They're no longer people who are bad or evil. They're people just like me. Who need the blood of Jesus Christ and need to hear the message of grace and peace. And none of this merits salvation. Rather, it is the fruit of what we are. As now God is working through us, as we heard from Isaiah, that we are now the clay. And God is working through us to will and to do what He wants us to do. Even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you. And this is the witness that they have. The witness within their community, the witness within the Christian community, and the witness within the world. It's not something that really comes to the forefront in our minds in our everyday life. What's our witness? Oh, we talk about it at church. We talk about it in Sunday school class. What's my witness? What do people think about me? But when it comes really down to it, in our daily lives, we don't think about it. When I'm pumping gas at the gas station, am I grumbling because it costs too much? When somebody cuts me off in traffic, am I going, well, that's just another forgiven sin or two? That's not how we work. But God works through us in our circumstance, and that witness will come out. Because He will continue to mold us and to guide us. There are certain people, usually within your life and your background, that you can look back to and go, that was a Christian. That was a person who showed me and demonstrated to me the love of Christ. Not because they consciously did it, but because they showed love and they showed grace. And that's to be our witness as we leave here this morning, as we go throughout our daily lives. Now, it doesn't mean that that's the only place. We are also called to serve as His witnesses here. To serve Him. To serve this body. Now, many say, well, I'm not capable of doing that. In fact, I heard that once with inside of a board meeting. And I said, you are wrong. I'm not capable. I'm not able to do that. Yes, you are. Because of the next statement that says, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gifts as you are waiting for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have everything in Jesus Christ. We have everything in Jesus Christ. We lack nothing. And you see, that's the big problem that we have. Because we start to go, well, I can't do that. I can't do this. Yes, you can. You have the Holy Spirit or you do not. God will mold you and guide you. He gives you the ability. And He has given you that ability. And now we get back to the Advent. Because we have all these things as we await the revealing of Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, because that's the important thing. That's what we wait for. That's actually what we hope for. If you notice on your bulletin, it says hope. That's the first Sunday in Advent. Not something to be scared about. Not something to be worried about. But something that we look forward to. This is going to be a great time. I know I've used this before, but I think that this is one of the most wonderful demonstrations of this. Is if you think about what kids, little kids are like before Christmas. That night before, they can hardly sleep. They're so excited. Because Santa's going to come. This is a great deal. They're fired up. And we lose that expectation when it comes to the coming of Jesus Christ. This is going to be a great thing. Because you are prepared for it. You are ready. And you know why I know that? Because our scripture tells us this. And I'm going to read verses 7 and 8 together. So you are not lacking any spiritual gift as you await the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the important thing to remember. He will sustain you. Not anything you do. He will carry you through. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. That means He starts it. He carries you through the journey and He finishes it. You see, God sustains us throughout all these days. And so, when we come together in Advent, we can look forward to His second coming like a child waiting for Christmas morning. Because we've been given grace, unmerited favor. We've been given peace. That means God is not against us. In fact, He's made peace with us. And He will lead us, guide us, and sustain us. That you are ready. And many times I'll get, well, what if someone doesn't believe? That's actually not my issue. That's theirs. I proclaim to them, and we proclaim to them exactly what God has done for them. And through that word and through the working of the Holy Spirit, God will and do what He wants. And for the most part, if we are faithful to that word, and we show them the gospel, and we proclaim to them the gospel, they will understand and they will believe. I'm not saying there's a formula, but do we demonstrate that love and that grace and that eager expectation and hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ? Because it is God who is faithful. Notice it's not us. Verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is not us who are faithful. It is God who is faithful to us. And He will continue to be faithful to us. Right up until He comes back. Or until we go directly to the end and meet Him. But we are to hope for that day. We are to eagerly await in expectation of being joined together with Him always. This earth is a struggle. We face bad things. And in fact, we will face bad things. Jesus is very clear about that. As believers, in the end times, before He comes back, we'll face persecution. We'll face people who are against us. We'll face people who will say all kinds of evil about us. Don't get mad. Continue to proclaim the gospel even to those who would persecute us and say all kinds of evil about us. That's our calling. And Jesus was very clear that we would face these things and live in the hope and the expectation that yes, indeed, we have been given grace and peace through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because this is the end. And He will sustain us through all the things that we face here. Who will sustain you to the end, guiltless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You and we give You thanks for this day, that we can look to You as the author and the finisher of our faith, the sustainer of our lives, and Father, one whom we have grace from and peace with. And Father, as You are the potter, mold us, shape us, lead us and guide us to be the people that You want us to be. That Father, we could bring this message out into our world, that we could demonstrate it by our speech, by our knowledge, and by our love and action. Father, we thank You that You have made these promises sure to us. And we ask that You would work in and through us to bring this message to all those who we come in contact this next week. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.